Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's a holiday weekend here in A3OWCCO. Hope you're having a nice Thanksgiving holiday. And we're back with our car care show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel, who has a great place called Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good morning to you. Happy Thanksgiving again to you and your family and all the crew at Lloyd's.
Well, thank you, Denny. It was it's kind of nice to have a long weekend here to kind of regroup and enjoy the time with our family. And as we know, the temperatures have dropped and the schedules are full, so we're resting up for the weekend, knowing that coming forward we're going to be pretty busy.
Yeah, I would imagine that given I'm looking at that forecast, well, just right now, I mean, the official temperature in the Twin Cities is now six above. You've received calls. Can you pick up calls during the weekend? I know you're not operational during the weekend, but do people leave messages or leave cars, or what's the story there?
Well, you know, that does happen. You know, obviously people run into issues and need to have a vehicle towed. So usually Monday mornings are pretty exciting because it's a little a little dance where you got to figure out where the car came from and whose it is and where the keys are. And you kind of, you know, we've been doing this for so long that we kind of have a routine to it, I would say. But, yeah, I anticipate Monday morning we'll have a lot of things to move around and get organized and start rolling through them and get them back on the road.
I would imagine. All right. Well, in the meantime, let's help some listeners out. If you have issues with your car, your truck, your van, and you want a little diagnosis over the radio, that's what Nick's great at, among other things. So call us or text us. But keep in mind, do it sooner rather than later, please, because Nick takes his leave about 7:45. So our time goes by so quickly. We're already getting text messages as we speak. So, yeah, let's hear. If you want to call and chat with Nick, that's great. If you want to just send a text, that's fine, too. Just one number will get you either, 651-461-9226. In fact, I had a similar question. I was thinking just yesterday, I'm going to ask Nick about this, and this texter beat me to it. It says, Nick, I'll be gone for almost a month in February. Should I invest in a battery maintainer for my car in an unheated garage? I was thinking of the same question about a car I needs to be parked outside. A maintainer, is that like what they call a tender? Is that the same thing?
Yeah, and what it kind of does is it puts out maybe 3/4 of an amp. It's not a very significant amount of power, but it's enough to keep the battery charged, keep things stable. It kind of has like a floating, so it's kind of on and off, and it, you know, it maintains itself. I think it's a really good product. You know, I got a vehicle up north that I kind of leave plugged in like that over the winter, and I think most of all what it's going to do, so when you do need that vehicle to fire up there, you know, the end of February, which is still going to be quite cold out, that you'll have that the power there at the battery, so it should fire up pretty smoothly. Now, if you make sure you have an easy way to plug it in, the last thing you want to do is have an extension cord draped across the driveway, and if somebody's plowing or snow blowing, you don't want to get that caught up in there. So make sure you plan accordingly so you can have that thing plugged in safely and securely.
Yeah, that's a good good advice on that that last part, too. But they do work, and they're not all that expensive. I bought one a few years ago, and I've used it over the years, and it's pretty reasonable, and doggone it, it does work. So, tell you what, let's grab a phone call. Kelly is calling in from West St. Paul, I believe, this morning. Kelly, thank you for your call. What is your question for Nick?
Before I get to the question, I got to describe the vehicle for you, Nick, because it's a hot rod engine swap. I swapped the entire front-wheel drive system from a Lincoln Continental front-wheel drive into the back of a hot rod. And it uses a custom wiring harness and a reprogrammed 95 Lincoln computer. The drivetrain is completely out of a 95 Lincoln Continental. And everything's been fine for about 3 years. And about a month ago, we were going to go to a car show, and we got about 200 yards down the street, and it died. Restart, die. We let it sit for a half hour, got it started. It runs terrible. We limped it back home, and it blows black smoke. The fuel pressure is right on spec. So we had the code scanned with a professional scan tool. There are no codes, but really what worries me, the tech tried to look back at different sensors to see if one of the sensors had failed. He can't read any of the sensors. He can't read back into the computer anymore. And it still runs bad. It at idle, it's not really missing. It sounds like I put a super high-performance camshafts in it. Just got this wicked-sounding idle, but it's blowing black smoke.
You know, my first two cents was I would probably check all my powers and grounds, as simple as it sounds, but make sure you have a good firm ground at that PCM, the fuel injectors, the coils, because like I said, it's black smoke, so it's not completing combustion, so something's out of sequence, you know. Is there a cam sensor, crank sensor correlation that's out of sequence, so the car, you know, what happens is the car's on a fire, but it doesn't see the input, the computer doesn't see that input to properly manage spark fuel timing type of stuff. So, you know, I would honestly, I know it's a lot of aftermarket, you know, that harness, and you can get the original schematic maybe to help with the colors of the wiring for that harness, but I'd really go back and check all my grounds, my powers, make sure, you know, both sides of the fuses, you know, just because it looks like it's good on one side doesn't necessarily mean it's good on the other. And just, you know, get a big notepad and start writing everything down, and hopefully at some point you'll see something in common where, you know, if you're not able to read sensors, that makes me think that it's not that information that getting back to the computer, maybe because there's a bad ground wire somewhere. So It'll be a little needle in a haystack, but I think with some time and diligence, I think you'll be able to get to the bottom of it.
Good luck with that. Sounds like a fun project, though. Labor of love, I guess. All right, I tell you what, let's do. I'm going to grab another text, though, before we run out of time. We'll take a quick break here in a second. But a listener wants to know, does antifreeze deteriorate?
Yes, you know, that's why we need to change it. What can happen is the unlike metals in the cooling system in the vehicle, the corrosiveness, the air will be kind of hard on it, the heating and cooling of it. So there's a reason there's a service interval. You know, many vehicles now, it's up near 100,000 miles, so it's not as often as it once was. Cars are built better than they once were, but you should definitely service that fluid like all fluids. And most vehicles, you check the owner's manual, I think you're going to find somewhere around 100,000 miles you want to change out that coolant.
All right, very good. Hang on, Nick. We'll take this quick break. Again, invite our listeners to join in if you have any issues with your personal vehicle and you need to bring it in for service. But before you do, you kind of want to know what may be wrong, what may be ailing before you do. A little more information is always great. So do that. Call us, text us before 7:45 when Nick takes his leave. Our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Right now, 6 above in the Twin Cities. We're heading to only about 15 for a daytime high. They've even dropped it for 1 degree. We might hit 22 tomorrow. Right now, a plus 6. With a wind chill of a minus 8 here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break. Thanks to Nick Stoffel, ASC Certified Technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. And Nick, I'm thinking we get a lot of new listeners all the time, but maybe especially during these holiday weekends. And we're here, as I said, every Saturday, thanks to you and your efforts. How do people find Lloyd's, though, in case they need some help during the week?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have a question and need some advice before you take it into your local dealer or shop, don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And it's the holiday season. A lot of people are walking Grand Avenue, doing some shopping along the small shops there. And we're at 982 Grand, so stop and say hi, the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And then finally, please check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that, and Nick will give you that info just before he leaves this morning, about 7:45 or so. Our number in the meantime, 651-461-9226. That'll get you either a phone call to Nick or a text. And we have a bunch of text messages this morning. Here's another one. How long do tire pressure sensors normally last, and what causes them to go bad in the first place?
You know, there is a small battery built into them, and it's, I wish there was a really easy answer there, but I can tell you, for example, on my wife's vehicle, we had to replace one yesterday, and her vehicle's 2011, and that sensor was the original sensor. So, you know, it's 13 years. Now, I can tell you that there was another one that we did do a few years ago. So, I don't necessarily know what makes them go bad. You know, they're, you know, it's a little small battery. Like kind of like a key fob battery that's built into it. They're not replaceable. It's kind of molded into the sensor itself. And I just think it's based on time, age. You know, they're sending that signal to the car's computer system, so it's picking up that pressure sensor. And then, you know, they just at some point they go bad. You'll notice on your dash or your information center there that the light might be flashing. That if that tire light's flashing, that usually means it's not seeing all the sensors. If the tire light is on solid, which many will be this morning because it's colder out, means that the pressures are a little bit low. So if you hop out in your vehicle today, you notice that that light is on. Just take a moment, walk around, look at all four tires. If they all look the same, they look full, I suspect you start driving a few moments. As the tires heat up a little bit, that pressure will increase and the light will go out. That's a very simple fix. You just need to stop and top off those pressures. If the light's flashing, however, that system is inoperative, and that means you might have a bigger problem. So you don't ignore that, because the last thing you want is to have a flat tire, especially as cold as it is. You don't want to be stuck on the side of the road somewhere.
I think I'll always have a car. My car shows the actual PSI. I don't know how accurate that is, but it shows the PSI in all four tires. My wife's vehicle, however, doesn't. Hers is kind of what you said. It'll be a light if there's an issue there. I'll always have a car. That's kind of me. But I'd like to know the pressure without getting out in the cold and, you know, using a pressure gauge or something. But that's just me. Interesting. The listener says this, my truck makes a rattling sound when I start it up, and after the engine warms up, it goes away. My mechanic said it was possibly the manifold bolts. It could lead to warped manifold and costly replacement. Do you think that's true? Listener says.
It's very possible. So when the exhaust manifolds are mounted to the engine, there's like bolts or studs that keep it snug and tight. Unfortunately, with age and time, those can corrode, and a lot of times the nut on them can actually come free. So there's a little bit of a gap there. And so when you start the vehicle up, things are cold. The rattling, as it heats up, things expand. When they expand, they tighten up, and that noise kind of goes away because that exhaust leak goes away. So, you know, is it a nuisance? Yes. Is it dangerous? Probably not horribly, but you don't want it to continue to deteriorate. So I would say the next time you're in for service, bring that up to them. Maybe you can drop the vehicle the night before so they, you know, when the mechanic or the technician starts the vehicle cold in the morning, they too can experience that problem and maybe give you better advice.
Here's a 2020 Hyundai Santa Fe. Does not want to start on cold mornings. They said we have to push the button several times, and finally it starts, and then it starts fine the rest of the day. Any idea of the issue there?
Well, on these cold mornings, I don't think any of us really want to get going, but I wonder if that battery is just starting to get near the end of its life. You know, there's just not enough cold cranking amps left in it. So when it's trying to fire up, it's laboring more than it should. Obviously, once you start the vehicle, things loosen up, free up. Once the engine's been running, the oil's more fluid. Things tend to start a little bit easier once they've been running. So it's usually that first cold start of the morning, which is a great note for all of us. If you go out today and you start your vehicle, and it's like, boy, that just seems like the battery's not very strong. Really good idea to go have that looked at, because, you know, we're at the very beginning of the winter season here,
yeah.
And it's likely to get colder, which will make that problem maybe a little worse for you.
True. This listener, Nick, says they have a 2017 Civic 1.5-liter engine, about 89,000 miles on it. For preventive maintenance, how often should the thermostat be changed?
We don't necessarily do it as a preventative maintenance. I think if we start to see some fault information, engine temperature issues or heating issues within the vehicle, meaning you're not getting the good quality heat that you like, or the vehicle's not warming up like it should in a timely manner, or the reverse, the car's running too hot, like the thermostat's stuck closed. But that's usually more of a repair situation. I don't think it's necessary to go through as a maintenance and replace a thermostat.
No, we had this question some time ago, and I'm not sure if we ever approached it or got an answer. But a listener says, the interesting question. I asked a question a few weeks ago about putting a lithium-ion battery replacement in lieu of a lead acid. Do they sell them? And they're not that expensive, and they last five times longer. He or she says, we have their own built-in charge controller that makes it work just like a normal lead acid battery at the cost of batteries. It's now become cost justifiable to replace your battery with a lithium ion phosphate. Oh my. Lead acid batteries are getting very expensive and lithium ion phosphate has been falling in price. What do you think about that one? A little complicated for me.
Yeah, no, I think emerging technologies are great. That's what we need to keep vehicles, you know, efficiencies, fuel economies, emissions, you know, that's great. I think we do need to do that. I personally, you know, I don't like to be the first one to the dance. I kind of want to wait and see how the technology evolves, how it works with our climate, with the temperature changes. I'd be very careful. You know, I would check with the manufacturer. I would want to put something that wasn't designed for the vehicle into the vehicle. I understand that this product, you know, says to have all the technology to manage that, but just be careful. You know, cars are very expensive, and something with a battery that could go wrong, you could short some things out, you could cause some permanent damage to computers or other items, which could be very costly. So just, you know, do your research, ask a lot of questions, but typically I like to put back what the car came with.
Yeah, I agree. I know we're going to break for weather here momentarily, but a listener wants to know via text, how does transmission fluid go down without leaking?
If it's adjusting as you drive the vehicle, when it's, you know, a lot of things, when it's colder, it kind of contracts, so it's a little bit lower. If you read the manual, you know, years ago now when we had dipsticks on every transmission, it would say you'd want to have it running and in neutral, so therefore the pump and the circuitry was such. What happens, though, as we drive the vehicle, as it warms up, the fluid goes through different parts of the transmission, which will adjust the level. Obviously, they take that into consideration when they make those marks on that dipstick. So if your vehicle is equipped with a dipstick for the transmission, you know, read it. It might tell you, even on the really small print, warm engine, neutral, or it has some recommendations on how to check that fluid to make sure it's accurate. But if it's continuing to go away, it could be leaking internally, getting to a pocket somewhere or in another component, you know, from the transmission to the transfer case or all-wheel drive system. So just be careful, because if you think it's not leaking and you keep adding the fluid, there's something internally going on there that we want to probably get a closer look at.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Nick, hang on. We'll take a look at that chilling forecast and then be right back with the remainder of the show. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive, answering those questions this morning, every Saturday morning here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show, every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive answering those questions here for a few more minutes on this holiday weekend. We have a bunch of text messages. Nick, let's see how many folks we can help before you take your leave. Here's one. My niece has a 2009 Ford Expedition having issues with the plug wires blowing off. What causes that? Because each plug has a coil on it, which can be extremely expensive to replace. I can't say that it was a very good thought when the engineers that issue. Any idea of what could be causing that?
Well, if a coil or a wire or something is blowing off, it makes me want to make sure when we install the spark plugs that we're fully seating and torquing them. There is a specification on how tight they should be. If they're not completely tight, it's possible that some of the exhaust gases could be leaking through, which could expand that rubber boot on that wire and also cause it a little more pressure, forcing it out of the way. So just maybe regroup, take it back apart, clean it up, install. Don't glue anything together for sure, but install them, torque them, and I think that, you know, hopefully that'll resolve the problem having there.
Okay. Let's grab a phone call before we run out of time. Bruce calling in from Bloomington this morning. Bruce, thanks for calling. What's your question for Nick?
Yeah, good morning, Nick and Danny. See, Nick, I had a problem the other day where my fob didn't work. I was able to get into the car with that little pop-out key, but all I got was this blinking key sign on my dashboard. So I know there must be a way to start the car without, I just assumed the key fob battery was bad. and I wasn't able to start the car. But how do you start the car when the key fob battery is dead?
That's a good question, because that does happen to all of us sometimes. First off, I think you're right. If you replace that little battery in that fob, it should be fine. Also, it's a good reminder for all of us to find that spare key that's in a drawer somewhere in the house. In the event that this does happen, you can go grab the other key and continue on your way. Now, a little trick that works on a lot of vehicles, if you actually hold that fob right next to the push button, the transponder responder kind of flip responsibilities there, so it'll see the security aspect of that fob and allow the vehicle to start. So you hold it right up next to the button, you know, give it a moment there, push the button, and I think you'll have some success getting the vehicle started.
Looking at a text, Nick, thanks for the call, by the way, about a 2023 Chevy Trailblazer. The vehicle doesn't seem to be idling or running rough, but the engine light came on. It's not running rough at all. Of course, it could be a lot of things. When that light goes on, what do you suggest this listener do?
Well, it's a 2023, so it's fairly new, likely still under warranty. Maybe that's the first path to see what's going on. But keep in mind that light is kind of your warning. And the difficult part about it is that, you know, it can be something as simple as a gas cap being left loose, or something catastrophic like a misfire inside the engine. So don't ignore the light, because, you know, that does happen from time to time where people say, oh, I already know what it is, it's been on for years. Well, that's true, but that whatever that original fault was might have gotten worse, or something else could be going on and you don't have a second warning. So the rule of thumb is, if that light is on, get on somebody's schedule. It's not immediate. If it's running, fine. If it's running rough and the light is on, you probably need to get in somewhere sooner than later, like in the next day or two, because you don't want to be stranded. And finally, if that light is flashing, rhythmic flash, that check engine light, you should really stop that vehicle and have it towed, because that's telling you that there's some sort of catalyst, permanent damage that could be happening to that engine or that car. So if the light's flashing, have it towed. Otherwise, get on somebody's schedule and get a look at that to see what's going on.
Yeah, that flashing is, get it in if it's flashing. As you know, Nick, we have the smartest listeners anywhere. And we also have listeners that are also in the same business as you, or maybe retired technicians. But this text comes from Gary, who was a 40-year Ford Master Tech on that hot rod caller we had earlier, 1995 Lincoln. He says an EEC Ford does not have the technology to read input sensors. You must install a breakout box into PCM and read with a multimeter. You know what all that means. But thanks to Gary. What does that tell you?
Yeah, so what he's referring to is an actual box that you kind of wire up to the vehicle, so you can actually take your multimeter, your voltmeter, and check individual pins for readings. You know, as technology has evolved, that 95 was pre-OBD2, which is the more current technology where we have bilateral language going on. Before that, there was the original programming of vehicles with electronic ignitions and computers and fuel injection systems, and there wasn't really a standardized way of doing it. So Ford used a breakout box so you could go to those individual areas and get some readings.
Interesting. Thanks for that. Can a battery be tested to see how much life it has left? Dexter wants to know.
You're taking a snapshot of where the battery's at that moment. You know, we like to see, an amperage reading, a voltage reading. Depending on the vehicle, it might change a little bit, but usually we can get an experienced gut feeling where this is starting to get weak, lower than we like to see. But you can't, it's not like there's a level inside the battery that says, okay, it's got half its life left or 6 months left. It doesn't really work that way. Mostly you're going to get a reading and kind of take your experience, the age of the battery, and kind of make a recommendation based on that.
Couple more texts. Let's see if we can't get them in here this morning, Nick. There's a warning light on my dash telling me that the PSI in each of my tires are 32 PSI in each tire. What should the PSI be, and is this a faulty message?
Well, I know you know the answer to this one, Denny. You open that driver's door, there's a little placard there that's going to say what the PSI at cold should be. That's how the car's computer system and tire pressure system's programmed. So you're probably just off a pound or two because it's colder out. Like I said earlier, you start driving that, the light will go out. You're like, oh, it's fixed. Same thing tomorrow morning. You just need to add a little bit of pressure into each tire just to kind of get it above that threshold.
Another tire question before we run out of time here. The low tire light came on yesterday. while I was driving. I had been driving, city driving for about 45 minutes when the light came on. Do you think it's likely okay?
That would be where I would be concerned that one of those tires did drop below. If you're driving, things are warm, so the cold temperature trick isn't the issue. Maybe there is a puncture in one of those tires, and it's just slowly leaking and getting down to that point where you end up with a flat tire. So that one there, I would, you know, go check, have all four tires checked, see what's going on.
Yeah, one more, and then we're out of here. 2019 Traverse, what should be the voltage reading at highway speeds? It's been ranging between 13.7 and 14.8.
The rule of thumb is 14.2. The indicator on the dash is fairly accurate, but it can change a little bit. Now, different loads on the engine, the alternator, headlights, radio, heating, heated seats, all that stuff will change that voltage as it's going. The idea is that it creates enough voltage to have all those accessories working while it's running the vehicle and keeping the battery charged. So that's going to fluctuate, but low 14s is a good rule of thumb.
All right, very good. Nick, thanks so much. We're out of time. For those that need some help from Lloyd's Automotive, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely. By phone, you can reach us at 651-228-1316. And if you're out and about, we're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. And as always, please check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
I always do. And let's pick up where we left off here next Saturday.
Sounds like a date.
Very good. Thanks so much. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.